Hello, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me, Ben Garrett, the Riverland Roofing Studios, the little house up top. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. It is Talk of Champions. I'm, again, Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter. The Ole Miss Spears, where you find me all day, every day. Still, that promotion, 75% off for no longer fall camp, but our kickoff promotion at the Ole Miss Spirit up until kickoff in Louisville. It is still going. Y'all have had an incredible, overwhelming response. We'd love to have you join us. It's the Ole Miss Spirit. I'm there all day, every day. Brad is around most all day, every day now, too. And outside today in what looks like another baseball, it is a baseball field, parts unknown, is Mr. Brad Logan. Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Doing well. And if people can kind of find the common theme between a baseball park and why I'm where I'm at, Ben knows the answer to this. I'm not going to tell anybody else. You can kind of figure it out for your own, but that's why I kind of show up at different public parks, because there's a certain theme to that. But yeah, just a little bit to talk about today. I am excited that we had an incredible conversation with Teresa Walker of the Associated Press. We'll hear from Teresa at the bottom of the show. And all things Nashville, everything that's going on in the city of Nashville, the new stadium, Nissan Stadium. We talked a lot about the Titans, we talked about the Commodores, we talked about the Volunteers, but most importantly, we talked about the game upcoming in a couple of days in Nashville. But I don't think that's what's hot on the topic right now. And so, Ben, I'll kick it back to you. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is the SEC and LSU are going courting, Brad. What an explosive Thursday. You know, we're a couple of days away from college football kicking off its season. Yes, week zero happened, but this is the weekend. This is the weekend. And the Thursday before that happened, and everyone had been talking about this big day of court activity. I just texted the link, by the way, to the show, to our lead legal analyst, Mr. John Cox, to see if he wants to come join us and explain it all. But, I mean, a couple days away, and here we are, Brad, and we're talking about the SEC suing one of its founding members. The most baffling thing to me, I don't understand why LSU at this point is even going this far down the road with it for what they say is backups. Now, I don't think Daquan's a backup. I don't think Xavier, at his best, at his healthiest, is a backup. I mean, for Ole Miss last year, he was an All-American level player. I mean, now the Miami tape wasn't great for Big Zay, but this was a guy that contributed at Ole Miss for at least a good 3 out of 4 years, stayed the whole way through, was great for them, but he's not conditioned. I don't think at their peak they are, but, like, that's how you're valuing them. That's how everyone else is valuing them, and now the SEC is suing you over them. Is it really worth the juice worth this squeeze? I don't understand anymore. I really don't, because there is a fundamental difference. Trinidad Chambliss, regardless of what you say, LSU fan, didn't sign a pro contract, didn't go into professional football, didn't go through the combine like these guys did. You know, like, there is a fundamental difference, and whether you think it's fair or not, and I'm not rendering a judgment one way or another, I'm saying the SEC is saying its hard red line is this: you are being sued by your conference 2 days before the season kicks off. And I don't know. And here's the thing. Our friend John Cox, our senior legal analyst here on Talk of Champions, got a Cleveland-based lawyer office here in Mississippi. He'll come on and explain it more at some point. But let's just put it very simply here. The courts, as he just wrote to us in text, the courts, our college football is now run by the courts. And that's just shitty to see. Here he is. John Cox is already joining us. John, give us the breakdown. Are you driving down the road?
Yeah, is this safe?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm driving to the airport, guys. Wow. Isn't it fun?
Okay.
So as I read this, it looks like Greg Sankey maybe either right about the time he took the witness stand, they filed suit and alleged that they named the president of LSU, Vern, then the AD, and then Lane. Y'all may have already said this, but it looks like they alleged that Lane and LSU has been in a consistent pattern of of recruiting NFL players off rosters. I mean, basically what John Talty reported. And, wow.
Okay, so explain it to me like I'm five. What is
okay?
The monumental nature of this is one thing, all right. But the league, from a legal standpoint, as far as Daquan and Zay playing football for LSU potentially as early as this freaking weekend against Clemson, are they eligible?
That will depend on what the hearing that's underway right now will say. But I think the SEC is saying, play those players and we will punish you, LSU. We will punish you, Lane Kiffin, because you agreed. I mean, that's between a court and eligibility. You know, we'll abide, quote unquote, by the court hearing, but if you choose to play them, then you have violated our rules, the rules against professionalism and all sorts. I mean, they threw the kitchen sink in Lane. If you're going to join a conference, you have to abide by their rules. And they're saying you're not abiding by the rules, that the school is not. That's why they didn't name the players. Does that make sense?
I think the players can legally play. The problem is the SEC, John, is a volunteer organization. And LSU has made the decision to voluntarily be a member of the SEC. But therefore, they have to abide by the rules. And so the SEC can say, yeah, Daquan Wright, Xavier Harris, and all 200 players, we understand they're legally able to play because of the judgment. But we also understand that we have a rule, and that rule, if it's not abided by, we're not going to punish the players. We're going to punish the university from the president all the way down, including head coach Lane Kiffin.
That's exactly right. What they're saying, in essence, and again, I'm trying not to kill myself as I drive down the highway, but that would be a whole
Please other- don't. I don't want to be responsible for this. Well, you're responsible for your own actions, and you chose to click in. But still,
do I get comp?
I'm glad you're here. Comp here. Be careful.
Anyway, that Brad's exactly right. I mean, if a court deems these players eligible, then the individual player is eligible if they receive that. I mean, could be eligible. But it's kind of like buyer beware if you put them on your roster. And so if I, as LSU or Ole Miss or any of the other member institutions decide to join the SEC, it's like if you and I go join, you know, if we join a hunting club, we have to abide by those rules. And if and the SEC saying, hey, you're violating the rules, and not only in this instance, you're not only, because they have till tomorrow night, I believe, that's when they have to name them.
Yeah.
Oh, there he goes. Did we lose him?
Is he on the airplane?
I really hope that he didn't just like crash on us.
Ben, no.
Okay. Well, he's the one that's driving. He clicked in. Okay, I'm taking him off there. I'm going to keep an eye down here. Okay, you keep a. So does this suit impose the fines and suspensions? What does the suit involve penalty wise?
I don't think that changed from the graphic that we saw from the SEC and the penalties. I don't think any of that changes. I think this is the SEC and Commissioner Sankey saying, we understand why you have sued us now. Here's what we're suing you for. And the damning thing for me, Ben, is that the SEC in open public is saying, quote, that LSU and Lane Kiffin colluded with players to recruit them from NFL rosters. That's what's damning to me. Not all the other stuff. That's what's really damning to me.
That for me is the big thing too, because notable in all of that was like, it contextualizes. That's the better way to think about it. It contextualizes like how Lane's kind of approached things this week, talking about been in constant communication with the SEC, a lot less like kind of deflecting blame off to like a player's leadership council and this, that, and the other. And the SEC in court, at least, is saying, nope, everything that has been coming out that is damning, we're saying that's exactly what you did. Good to see that you're okay, John. Good grief, don't do that again.
It'll take a nation of millions to hold me down, boys. I heard just the end of it. I'm throwing rap out there for you, Ben.
It's well done.
Thank you. I mean, you're exactly right. I think the SEC, and I'm not privy to their conversations. I have no idea what they've said to Lane, but I basically said, the SEC basically said, all right, cool. Quit dicking around, Lane. We've told you more than one time it's not that they can't play. We do not want them to play. Other member institutions have said they don't want to play. And Lane, I would imagine, is sitting there going, but they might be eligible. You know, don't blame me. Blame, you know, hate the game, not the player.
There you go.
And
so
and they're all, I am, well, give me a break. And so I'm a lawyer, for God's sake. And so anyway, but yeah, they eventually, as he said, all right, screw it. Guess what? Right about the time we're going into court to talk about players, we're going to drop a bomb on you. And they did.
All right, so here's a question from the chat, at JacobKent2000. Do you guys feel Lane is doing all of this trying to affect Trinidad Chambliss' eligibility so he uses it a lot as an excuse for his actions?
I don't. I think Lane doesn't like being told no, and I think Lane is pushing this as far as he can push it. I don't think this has anything to do with Ole Miss. This has to do with Lane, for better or for worse. Lane Kiffin's trying to win football games at LSU. The difference between Lane Kiffin and the other football coaches is they will not push the envelope like Lane will. And he's pushing it so far now that I would think, to John's point, someone's got to get in Lane's ear and say, John, Lane, that's enough, okay? You play football in a couple of days. Hypothetically, if Dabo, and I have no doubt he and Chad Morris have an incredible game plan together, and let's just hypothetically say that Clemson comes in and wins the game 28-24. What does Monday morning or Sunday morning look like in Baton Rouge, regardless of a court case? Lane said it on the Wednesday media call. He said, when he was asked about players and swag and asking about doing this with NFL, he said at the end of the day, it's all about wins and losses. So he's doing this, I think, to try to win. I also think he's doing it because he doesn't like to be told no. But I think at this point you have to wonder, and I haven't really bought into this, but how much does this bleed over to a possibility of this showing up on the field Saturday night? How much does this distraction have to do with anything? And we won't know that until a few days. But at some point I think Lane's going to be like, I'm out. I thought this might be it, the suit. And it may be. This might be it. When Sankey shows up and kicks the door down and, as Pat McAfee says, Stone Cold's music drops and the glass breaks, I think at that point someone's got to get in Lane's ear and say, man, that's enough. I'm out.
I don't know where it ends, John. I don't understand if the juice is worth the squeeze, but from the chat, at our guy Trey Freifogel, former Ole Miss wide receiver, at Trey Freifogel 3. Does anyone else feel totally played by Lane after how much he supported in the past 4 to 5 years? Tennessee tried to tell us. No. That's what I've been saying, man.
No, nobody's surprised by this.
No, but here's what I'm saying.
I know y'all two aren't.
Here's where I'm at, though. I spent 5 years cheering the dude for pushing the envelope. Like, pushing the envelope is part of the appeal. I'm not going to knock it now. I'm just wondering if, since it's gotten to the point where the SEC is suing your school over what you say or just a couple of backups, if at long last you might just want to say, is it worth it? Right?
Yeah.
Like, this seems like the end of the line. You know what I mean? Unless you just want to blow the whole thing up. Now, LSU can leave the conference anytime it wants to, but this is a truly unprecedented thing. And it deflects from the attention from what we used to only be talking about the Thursday before the opening weekend of kickoffs. Not LSU and Clemson, not the marquee matchup of the only ranked matchup of opening weekend, Ole Miss and Louisville. And Louisville, they can give Ole Miss one hell of a game. We're talking about court cases, the SEC suing one of its member institutions.
Has it ever happened before?
Charter?
So I
no. Has it? How? What? In so, what way?
Yeah. I would be shocked. I mean, not over something like, not over anything major, I wouldn't think. I have a conspiracy theory, guys. Y'all going to like this.
Here we go. All right.
I don't think this has anything to do with Trinidad. I think Lane was one of the ones that would have, had he stayed at Ole Miss, was probably pushing, hey, Trinidad, let's get you that extra year. I mean, obviously.
Yes.
I mean, just like any coach would. And I agree with you, Ben, on that, you know, Lane pushes the envelope, and that is the attraction of Lane. And I'm not knocking him. And if he watches the show, he'll probably text you and say, man, this dude's lost his mind. But I have a theory. that about midway through the summer, if y'all remember, Lane started telling people to back off, that they may not win a championship this year. You know, he started kind of basing, you know, be patient with us, be patient.
Tempering enthusiasm, expectations.
Yes, tempering expectations. That's a great way.
It's the old political move, you know, right before the election, you know, start saying, well, he's going to go on a book tour if it doesn't work out, you know.
So Lane starts doing that. And then, and I think Lane starts doing that because besides that's good common sense, which he has, maybe, is that his roster may not be exact. Lane knows talent. I mean, he can evaluate talent.
Yes.
And perhaps he sees something, and I'm not saying they're going to go on. I don't think they're a bad team. Let me just say that. But I think maybe he says, maybe we're not right where we should be to be in this conversation. And not yet. And then you say, wait, there's a window. Maybe I can bring some more people in. And hell, my boosters are just throwing money at me, because I guarantee when he started tempering expectations, more money started coming in. And he was like, okay, well, screw it. I got to go build a juggernaut. Forget the rules. And the NCAA and SEC is like, screw you, Lane. I mean, and this is where I think, if you notice, the NCAA started winning the last couple of weeks. It's because it's
specifically
absurd.
A federal court.
Yes, but it's absurd. We've hit a level of professional players leaving NFL rosters, and we have coaches calling them to get off their roster and come play back and play college. This is the dumbest, excuse my language, shit I've ever heard in my life.
I'm beginning to wonder, what's the NFL's role in this going to be? At what point does the NFL become involved? Because now that the SEC, along with Greg Sankey, has filed suit against LSU and Lane Kiffin, which I cannot believe I'm saying this. At what point does the NFL get wind of this? And then we start seeing legal action between the NFL and maybe LSU and Lane Kiffin. I don't know if that happens, but this is beyond bonkers. And at some point, I said a long time ago, they've got to rein this in. I don't know what the answer is. There's got to be some type of normalcy in this. And every time I say that, Ben, crazier stuff just happens.
Well, Brad, to your point, and I mean, y'all know I'm not a massive NCAA fan. I'm not a fan of them at all, on their organization. But, like, it should have been a sign when the entire conference comes out against the actions of one school, including, by the way, I believe the president actually voted for it from LSU at one point. You know,
what the SEC is saying. But the SEC, as part of the lawsuit they filed today, they mentioned, they noted that LSU voted for, you know, voluntarily. I just, from a legal standpoint, because Tom Mars has been very vocal about how the LSU is about to just get his butt kicked once the SEC makes its move, and it's made its move today. From a legal standpoint, I mean, who's in the most advantageous position right here? Who's coming in from a position of strength?
I guess as far as
there's no doubt.
I mean, if you cannot force, the whole point of the reason why the NCAA was losing was that it was not fairly and enforcing their own rules. And, like, you know, everyone was playing, didn't have the same rule. Like Trinidad, the whole argument that basically they're arbitrary and capricious. How many times have I said that? Anyway, well, the SEC is coming in saying, hey, man, these are our rules. We have rules against pros playing. We voted here that we would do this, we would do that. You voted for it. It is what the member institutions have done, and you continue to ignore us. So to the original point, what we started with, kid may be eligible, and I guess they could go play at what's the school on the Northwestern or the Texas State or whatever it was, that unnecessary roughness. They could go
the
play
Texas
there.
Texas State fighting armadillos.
There you go. You can go, you know, you are welcome to go become a fighting armadillo, but I'll be damned if you can become a member of the SEC. And that may suck, but until the member institutions change their own rules, you have to abide by them.
And Ben's word is what I've been steadfast with this whole time. Number one, John made a mention of member institution, but Ben's word is voluntary. It's a voluntary organization that you're a member of.
Yeah. Go play with the fighting armadillos and whoever else if you want. I mean, that ask Notre Dame how that independent thing's working out. But, you know, they, yeah, I mean, they're screwed. I mean, they're not screwed, but, I mean, SEC totally is, well within their rights to go after a member institution. It's just most of them say, okay, well, dear Lord, we don't want that to happen. But they got Lane. No one tells Lane no. And this that's craziest a lot of this. Thing ever.
So when people bring up Trinidad and say, well, that it was ruled that Trinidad can't play, how is, like, we're just saying all of those guys should be able to play then. And he's brought up as an example time and time again. You see it a lot from LSU people. What would be your response to that?
Well, the response is the logical one. Trinidad didn't sign a contract. Can y'all hear me?
Now we can.
I mean, basically, Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Can you hear me? I mean, the logic.
Can you say that Trinidad again, please, John?
No, the response to that's the logical one. SEC didn't, or is not saying that they're violating, that LSU's violating rules by playing players who are in a 6-year of eligibility or whatever it is. They're saying you're violating the code of professionalism. Their whole thing centers right on these kids being NFL guys. Trinidad has not signed an NFL contract. Trinidad basically got the medical red shirt he never got from Fair State, is what the court gave him.
So you could argue the merits. You could argue the merits of the medical red shirt. You can argue that, but that's not what the argument is here. That doesn't. Yeah. It's not applicable.
I mean, the kid at Alabama, say it for me, Bediako, whatever his name is. I always use it.
Bediako, Charles Bediako. Yep.
Yeah, he lost his option. I mean, his to try to play. And you know, and I said way back when that Colorado case came down, I think on the air with you guys, I said, look, if you stay right there and you go back in and say, hey, if they're a class of 22 and they haven't signed a pro contract and they're their 6-year, then it's cool. They can come back. We'll give you a blanket waiver. I think all of this would have just died. But if you put the rules that say, hey, they're professionals, they can't come back. Well, most member institutions, or most institutions rather, say, oh, yeah, that's pretty fair. We'll go with that. But Lane and LSU was like, well, screw that. Wait a second. Why is it? That's not fair. They're eligible. They should be able to play. Why differentiate?
The most damning thing, because I want you to be safe, and you've been talking way too long while driving down the road. The most damning thing, and what really might get him in some trouble, is if the orchestrated piece is proven.
Right.
Now, yes. I think you want to avoid that at all costs, because like that's the part that's like, well, that's different. This stuff here, you're at the end of the day, you're still talking about Daquan and Zay and like whatever big. But like that stuff, they said, no, we believe you did this. This falls reporting from John Talta yesterday. All this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like that seems like the most critical piece.
How cool would this be? Okay. So what's the Browns coach? Munkin?
Todd Monken. Todd?
Okay. He may have just been, I saw he kind of tried to backtrack a little bit, but cool. Let's look at your phone records, Todd, and see who called you from Baton Rouge. See any numbers on there? If there really is a call from Baton Rouge, and I don't care if it came from Lane or not, if there is a call from a LSU source to the Browns, that's bad. I mean, it's freaking chaos. We are literally trying to cherry pick off pro rosters at that point and trying to get them to quit. I mean, hell, forget this. Wait till one of those kids can't play. Wait till Wright can't play. No one wants to have him, and he sues Lane for interfering his chances of having a pro contract because, you know, coach, you told me I have a roster spot here and you pay me X. Man, the lawsuits will never stop. I mean, that's why someone has to tell Lane no. Stop. And
so that's what this is today.
Yeah, stop. This is crazy. They can't play for you. You've screwed these kids. Now they're not on an NFL roster. Now they're not going to be you're going to have to go play for the Armadillos. You're not going to get that $500,000 NIL deal. You know, we'll take them at Delta State. We didn't score a lot of points the other night. So if they can come back and play, we'll take them.
What's a lot, John?
What do you mean?
What's a lot of points?
None.
So my whole
shut
thing.
The Okra were shut out?
We're not talking about Delta State today.
We're not talking about that. Whatever.
So what just stands out to me is I think the bigger thing here, John, the bigger thing here today is that piece of it's really, if it's a game of chicken, they're right here because the SEC's not moving. So the question is, if Lane doesn't move and he plays the players, then you're hitting nuclear level. And I never dreamed in a million years we would be talking about this right now, because I felt like LSU would eventually be like, we're not going to play them, we're not going to deal with it. Someone, a cooler head would prevail. That obviously hasn't happened as we record or as we talk today. If they continue down this dangerous road, then it's billion-dollar mistakes here with a B, because future revenue of LSU not a member of the SEC would be catastrophic for that university. I said there's no way that happens. I still don't think it happens. I think LSU finally goes, okay, we're out. But if that happens, that is an incredible, incredible day in college football history.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and this is a, I mean, this is a dude that likes to play chicken. He grew up with Keith and Chancellor Boyce and said, I'm going to take all my I'm going to keep coaching in the playoffs, even though I'm going to LSU. And they kept saying no, and he didn't believe them. I mean, he just, by all accounts, he was going to keep doing it, and then he was going to take his toys and go home. I mean, at some point, and maybe when the Talk of Cajuns podcast calls me to be their legal analyst, I can ask. But I mean, at some point, I mean, I see it on Twitter or X more and more. More and more LSU people are going, dude, we have to play football. Stop. I mean, and this is what's nuts, guys.
I want to look him in the face and go, guys, I get it.
Yeah, yes, that's what I was going to
say. Ole Miss people know Lane won here. We know.
We've lived this. I feel like telling every. I told my son today, I was talking about this, and I said, you know, this is what's crazy. This is effing chaos. It will escalate even greater. I guess John Talty's book comes out the week that Ole Miss plays LSU. I mean, by Thursday, we're going to have
perfect
just a freaking,
timing. The timing could not be better.
It's going to be insane.
Or more coincidental.
The Grove will look like something near Hamburger Hill in Vietnam. I mean, it's going to be crazy. And the one dude who can operate in this chaos is the guy with blonde hair and a visor over there. He lives
for it. Not
only
operate, John, he can thrive in it.
Yes, I was going to say, and he's a freak with a play sheet for 60 minutes.
And ringmaster of the circus. And boy, is it one right now.
Yes. So all of us and the LSU fans, I mean, hell, we all have become united that Lane is driving us out of
the wall. Even the ones in our mentions, mine especially all the time, I want to say, like, I have been consistent. Ask Brad. John has been listening or contributing. I have said I don't blame Lane at all. His responsibility.
No, he's trying to win.
His responsibility is Saturday, and it just tells me the most. It's like he's worried he's going to go 9-3 or 8-4, and LSU is already this insane. What would that look like? So now it's a deflection of whatever the reasoning. From a practicality standpoint, it would be dereliction of duty for him not to pursue every avenue, which includes this. Just like he encouraged Trinidad to get his fifth year through the medical red shirt, mainly because he was trying to take him with him to LSU. Kewan Lacy and any and all things, like Kewan got into the portal for maybe 6 hours. He entered with a do not enter tag. He was at Ole Miss 2 seconds later. You know what I mean? Like Lane has pushed the envelope everywhere always. You don't applaud it then and then shit on it now. I applaud the fact that he's trying to pursue every avenue. I'm just asking at this point, what is the end game here? What's the end game? Is the end game to be able to
– If LSU is smart, it's right now.
Jordan Hudson, for example. Jordan Hudson was one of those that filed suit to potentially return from college for the Cowboys. He's on their practice squad now. But he filed because he's like, yeah, I could come back. Are we going to be able to go now and pick off practice squads and stuff? Like, because the goalposts are only going to keep moving this way and that way. This is not a singular 2022 eligibility class issue. They're trying to quite literally change the structure in which you can build rosters and becoming both the farm system and just the little brother in general of the NFL. And that's a much bigger problem. So is it worth it? I don't blame the guy, but we understand for y'all, you want to go, but damn, don't you kick off against Clemson in a couple hours? Yeah, been there.
Once you walk up to a brick wall, you've got some separation. You know, you can breathe a little bit. But once you get to the brick wall, the other side's not moving. So it's up to you to move away from the brick wall to get your job done. That's the SEC right now, is the brick wall. Well, They're holding all the cards.
The only other time, in my experience, which is only about 6 years with Lane, even though he said many things about me, including that guy or, you know, I don't even know your name. We've heard all of these things from Lane, but I'm telling y'all, the first time he was told no, in my experience, was in 2022 amidst all the Auburn stuff, and he was talking to Keith Carter on a Wednesday going into game week around an airplane, let's just put it that way, and Keith walked away and said, I'm done with it. They got to this point with Chicken. He stayed Ole Miss head coach, but then he was doing what he always expected to do 3 years later. He's going to LSU, and he's doing his stuff. Like Brad said, it was perfectly put. Well, him and the SEC now, not him and Keith Carter, him and the SEC now are doing this right here. And at some point, is it enough, or are you going to blow the whole thing up? I just only think that, like, I don't know if you can win this.
Well, you know, he wants to he's playing a really dangerous game. There's a lot of – I mean, just because at some point – I mean, I would think, and I don't – again, I have not polled the Louisiana State University Booster Club, but it's always close to 50-50 on whether or not you love Lane or dislike Lane. You just got to kind of go with the experience. Man, at some point, the people give a lot of money. And they don't give a lot of money to not be members of the SEC, to have their head coach not focused on the game. I mean, guys, I mean, I really could care less who wins the Clemson LSU game, but it would make my year if Clemson wins that game. Just here's not what because I think. I mean, for Lane, I just want to see what happens on Monday.
Here's what I think is going on right now. You know, we all three have watched Lane orchestrate a college football team as well as anybody in Oxford. And he won a lot. He had a very, very good schedule that was conducive to win. But he won a lot of games. I understand he lost a couple that he wasn't supposed to. But for the most part, he was a really good football coach for Ole Miss. The transfer portal, the advent of that, did a great job. I think Lane's going to be a win-win either way. I think he's pushing as far as he can go. And then he's going to use it as a rallying cry that they're all out to get me. It's us against the world. It's LSU against the world. Guys, they hate all of you. They hate me. Let's go win the whole thing, and let's do it just to spit in their face. The conference hates you. They hate me. I think he's playing the villain role perfectly, and I think we'll see how it goes. But I truly believe that's the tactic that Lane is taking right now.
Well, to your point, I mean, I saw the billboard on Twitter that he has in the locker room or somewhere about, you know, to ruin somebody else's story, you have to be a villain or something like that. And I just – is he going to have a picture of Greg Sankey like on Major League? Or are they going to take off a piece of clothing every time they win a game? I mean, it's – but I agree.
Every
I mean,
that's time.
Exactly, you know, is he just going to look up and go, well, there's only one thing to do, guys? I mean, it's – but I agree. He's going to play a victim. He always does. It's he's going to just say, well, you know, don't hate me. It's just the rule, and I guess they don't want us to play that way. I'll do what the court says, maybe. And he'll find something else, but – God, Jesus.
Kick off in 2 days, dude. In 2 days. 2 days.
Appreciate
two
it, John.
Freaking days. Thank you. Hey, be careful, be safe, and don't ever call back in when you're driving down the road, even though it's great information. Whatever. He's John Cox, the senior legal analyst for these Talking Champions. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
See y'all.
That was John Cox, man. He's great, and he helped make sense of it all, and it's an absolutely insane, insane development. But Ole Miss and Louisville – just a few couple days away from Ole Miss and Louisville too, Brad. And I got some text from Ben Mintz because Brad and I are going to have the pregame show from 2 to 4 at Barstool Nashville. We encourage you all to come out. We'll have a table set up. We'll come and find you and this, that, and the other. Ben Mintz reached out and he said he's excited to have us. So be there for that. But what's your confidence level right now before we go to one Miss Teresa from the Associated Press, who's absolutely awesome?
I think that Ole Miss is a 2-touchdown, you know, winner on Sunday night. I truly believe that. I think it'll be fairly close at half, and then Ole Miss kind of separates at that point because I think Ole Miss is just frankly a better team. And I'm excited. I'm really excited about kickoff. I'm excited about everything that's coming up in Nashville, and I'm excited to get to Nashville and see everybody. I'm excited to see the fans and have an incredible pregame show with Barstool, all our Barstool friends and Ben Mintz. But at the end of the day, Ben, it's about wins and losses. I think the Rebels roll at least by 2 touchdowns.
He's Brad Logan. I'm Ben Garrett. This is Talk of Champions. This QR code's for the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com, an affiliate of On3. Sign up today for 75% off. That that deal runs out by kickoff of the Louisville game. So, man, y'all get to it. Y'all have had a great response. We've kept it open because of that response. We'd love to have you. It's the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com. This QR code is to sign up and get 75% off. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, Teresa Walker of the Associated Press. This is Talk Champions.
Homes and businesses from the whims of nature. You need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Rebels, your truck is here. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford presents the all-new Ram Rebel. It's Ram, the Rebel way. Send an unmistakable signal. Rebel, 24/7. Ram Rebel, from your friend in the car business. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford.
Come by, let's be friends.
I'm Warrior Philip Hearn. Raising my family here in Mississippi, I've tried to teach my kids to help others. I learned that from my parents. And as a Mississippi lawyer, I want to help you too. If you're hurt in a traffic accident, 18-wheeler wreck, or have insurance trouble, call 601-720-3541. That's my cell. You call, I'll answer. Let's get started. Make your first call to the Hearn Law Firm today.
Life is made up of moments. We care about those moments as much as you do. We are Modern Woodmen, a fraternal financial services organization. Member-owned, not stockholder-run. Since 1883, we've supported families, strengthened communities, and helped people reach their financial goals. From protection to saving to retirement planning, let us help you plan for those special moments in your life. We are Modern Woodmen of America.
Start my weekend
your day on the Network for Connected Living. There's more to see. Right now, get four free 5G phones and four lines for only $35 a month with a five-year price lock. C-Spire. Customer inspired.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Football season is here, which means for me, the next few months are pretty much controlled chaos. So if I could wake up tomorrow better at one thing, turning my brain off. And anybody who knows me is probably laughing right now because I'm terrible at it. There's always another story to write, another show to plan, or something I think needs to get done right now that probably doesn't. Getting better at slowing down, being present, not constantly thinking three things ahead, yeah, I'll take that. Better is a feeling defined by you. And for BetterHelp, it's a BetterHelp therapist who really gets you. It's a focus on global emotional well-being with thousands of therapists and millions of members in over 100 countries. It's progress. And maybe with BetterHelp, it's getting a little better at turning your brain off. Sign up with BetterHelp today and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
This in Louisville coming up on Sunday night. Teresa Walker will be there, and I could not think of a better person to come on the show today and give us a little bit of a preview, not only on the game, but Nashville and the city that I love so much, and a great friend of mine, Teresa Walker, with the Associated Press. Maybe has one foot out the door, but she's not out the door yet. We're glad that she's with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Brad. And yeah, that's the thing. I like to do as much as I can before I leave a party, you know, put things up. So I'm trying to do everything I can and squeeze the last little minutes out of my remaining tenure as a full-time employee sports writer for AP.
Well, not only you, but Nissan Stadium, it's got its way out the door too, because that beautiful stadium to the east is about to be full-fledged here in a couple of years. Well, actually, next year. This is the last year Nissan Stadium. Your overall thoughts on the matchup between Ole Miss and Louisville, kind of kicking off college football season, really the only ranked matchup coming up this weekend.
It should be really interesting, and I like what Pete Golding is telling. You know, it's like we've been talking about it for a long time. Louisville is the team. They beat the team that beat us in the last game. You know, and that game that Louisville played in Miami, that's making that even more impressive. That was a road game for Louisville, and they kind of controlled that game throughout. You know, their secondary got some picks. And so, you know, one of the guys that was in that game and had a pick in that game is going to be on the field for Louisville on Sunday night. So this is, I mean, for all the talk about all the cupcakes this weekend, this should be a really good game, because, you know, Jeff Brohm, you know, he didn't like, you know, they were on the swing. And then that season, you know, the end of the season didn't finish the way the Cardinals wanted. He went out and got Lincoln Kienholz from Notre Dame, a kid that – Ohio State. Sorry. Kentucky got the quarterback from Notre Dame. The portal, man. It's like we almost we need a Rolodex, new kind of flash card, because now it's with the portal, there's that – you know, it used to be, are they a transfer? What year are they? And have they redshirted? But now it's a whole different thing thrown into this. So, but, you know, we don't know what Louisville is going to look like aside from the fact that they've got Isaac Brown, 8.8 yards a carry last year. If he had been available for more than 9 games, I think Louisville would have had a much better season, Brad. And, you know, with him on the field and healthy, that is going to help Kienholz really get his footing underneath him. So for the Rebels, gosh, that, you know, after an off season of courtroom battles and, you know, in figuring out things and working through the drama of how last season ended, the regular season and the playoff, they've got to be happy to finally get the page turned to football and football on the field. It's what we all look forward to.
Let's talk about this Rebel team. You know, last year, Teresa, a lot of good things happened to Ole Miss, advancing to the Sugar Bowl, its first home playoff game, losing to Miami in the Fiesta Bowl, a team that Louisville beat last year, ironically. It was a really big year, and a lot of the players that were on that team last year on this year's team. What were your thoughts watching Ole Miss go through the whole Lane Kiffin fiasco? He's leaving a college football playoff team, and then Pete Golding comes in, wins a couple of games. What were your thoughts watching Ole Miss last year go through all of that late in the season?
I hope that the LSU job is that good to give up a chance at a championship now as opposed to one in the bush. I mean, it's like, why – that's the thing that never made sense. It's like, I can understand the attractions of LSU, the resources, yada, 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 Brad, but you've got opportunities come so briefly in this life in sports, and you never know when that window is slammed shut and you just didn't notice it. And, you know, not sticking with the hand. I mean, I know that Trinidad Chambliss had a season far beyond what anyone could have imagined, but the fact is, when the hand is hot, you ride it. And no offense to Pete Golden, but, you know, if you don't have that drama, you know, if he just says, no, I'm trying to win a championship here, It's tough not to think what coulda, shoulda, woulda for Ole Miss. But you know what? They had an incredible season. I mean, and that's the sad part. It's like, as great and incredible as the season was, it feels like there might be that asterisk of what coulda, shoulda, woulda simply because of the Lane Kiffin drama and affair. But the way they handled it, the way they fought through it, the way they persevered and got to the semifinal, and that was a tight game. I mean, you know, they had their chances in that game. So if I'm an Ole Miss fan, I'm thinking, you know what? Give me this. Let's see what we can do this year, because drama's draining. You know, it's fun for all of the rest of us to talk about, but if you're inside the room and it's directly impacting your life, it takes a toll no matter how much you want to ignore it. Being able to have that done and move forward with Chambliss and Lacey and the pieces they've got – if I'm a Rebels fan, I'm thinking, let's go.
You know, you've been around the world of college football for a while, and you've seen a lot of preseason hype for different players and that sort of thing. In your opinion, whether it be Lacey or whether it be Chambliss, do you think they have a pretty good shot at winning a Heisman Trophy? And what are your thoughts whenever you saw Ole Miss doing a really good job out in Las Vegas, New York, kind of promoting not only the student athlete, but honestly, let's be honest here, they're promoting the university. Just your thoughts about those two players. Is there a legitimate shot of them winning a Heisman Trophy?
Absolutely a shot at winning a Heisman Trophy. Let's not forget, Diego Pavia from Vanderbilt was the runner-up this last season, because stats matter, performance matters, especially at universities where there maybe isn't the blue blood track record of producing Heisman Trophy winners. So, and give credit to Ole Miss, smart, being out there, doing what they have to do, promoting it in Times Square, the Sphere, that was brilliant. I mean, think about it. You know, you got the social media buzz because, you know, everybody loves to see what's up on the Sphere next. They were on the Sphere and they're promoting their guys. That's the thing. That's what makes, you know, so, and, you know, the number of carries that Lacey had last year, it's like, I know that they've, you know, kind of given him some help in that running back room.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Louisville's done with Isaac Brown. But when you've got a bell cow, you give that ball to the bell cow. You know, for all the talk, trust me, in the NFL, I covering Derrick Henry and Eddie George, the questions often asked, it's like, do you worry about wearing him down? No coach worries about wearing down a running back this year, because my job counts on what I do this year. And same for that running back. They want the ball now. It's all about what they can do. So with Lacey, I mean, I would hate to be scheming to defend this offense. Because you've got the dual threat in Chambliss, and then you've got Lacey, and the numbers, looking at those numbers they put up last year, it's like, it felt like I had to double check them, because it's like, are you kidding me? It's like, I knew they had incredible seasons, but it's like, seriously, what are we, it's like, wow. It was, you know, you don't know an opponent till you truly dive in, and what they did was impressive. And I mean, the only problem that Chambliss and Lacey might have in their Heisman campaigns, and I think it was Chambliss who finished eighth, you know, they love their quarterbacks. And with him being that dual threat, he is going to put up – if he puts up numbers like he did this last year, there's no Mendoza this year to compete with him. So he is already kind of – he's in that group near the top. Pavia's gone too. So, you know, he's moved up in the slot of players who are already going to be in the chatter. And I've gotten – pieces of mailings and things over the decades for Heisman Trophy campaigns. Ole Miss is doing it out of the box. And that's the kind of thing you need to do in this day and age to make sure your guy is in the mix early. You know, there was some criticism of Vanderbilt that maybe they didn't get on the Pavia train fast enough last year. But Ole Miss isn't letting that happen for their guys.
Yeah, Pete Golding has been very adamant that, you know, not specifically naming Lane Kiffin, but saying that, quote, we're behind our players. This is about the players. It's not about who runs us out of the tunnel. It's about who's performing on the field. So this is no surprise to Ole Miss fans, seeing so much emphasis put on Trinidad Chambliss and Kewon Lacey during the Heisman campaign. I think it's more or less not only highlighting those two student athletes, but they're highlighting the university and they're putting the spotlight back on the players. One thing I wanted to ask you, who do you like in the SEC this year? I know it's kind of wide open right now. Obviously, Georgia and Texas are getting a lot of buzz. Ole Miss is getting some buzz. Nobody's really talking about Alabama. There's some people talking about LSU. Where are you at with the SEC this year?
Brad, it feels like it's as wide open as it's been. I mean, yes, I think we kind of all think that Georgia will be there in the mix late in the season, but we're going to need to see that, because that's the thing. This year, with the portal especially, you know, coaches go out and get so many players. We've got, you know, Alabama's leaning on a young quarterback, just like Tennessee and Vanderbilt. And that's what I'm curious to see. Who steps up? 9 conference games this year. It feels like that's going to have a chance to make it a bit of a muddled mess. You know, this might be a year that, you know, the SEC, you added the 9th conference game. Maybe you should have gotten rid of the conference championship, because you're going to make your guys play 10 games against SEC competition this year. So that's the thing. The Big Ten and everybody's like, oh, SEC's had its day, we're moving on. Well, we know how the SEC tends to respond to that situation. I'm going to use Tennessee as an example. You know, Heupel, they were in the college football playoff in 24. The defense just slides down the hill. He gets rid of the coordinator after the regular season finale, lost to Vanderbilt, goes and gets Jim Knowles, the guy who beat him with Ohio State the year before. So he's put in a new defense and things like that, and he's rolling the dice with a young quarterback. He didn't have much choice. Ryan Staub was the one portal addition for in that quarterback room from Colorado. But it's like, you know, he's not afraid of going with the young hand. Faison Brandon, I really cannot wait to see this young man. He looks SEC quarterback ready, size-wise. He's got the experience from North Carolina. So we'll see. I mean, in this day and age, it's kind of fun with all the portal transfer quarterbacks that we're seeing across so many teams. You know, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Alabama, they're going with the young guys. I wish I throw a dart at the dartboard, and I think you might have as good a chance. John Summerall might do some things at Florida. That may be one that I'm going to say, no, not yet. Auburn, show me what you got, Alex Golish. Yeah. But, there's some prove it and show me what you can do, guys. But it just feels like everybody's at the same starting line, and who gets going fastest is going to decide who's the SEC champ this year, it feels like.
I know we'll see you Sunday for Ole Miss and Louisville. We'll also probably see you, I think it's First Bank Stadium, Vanderbilt. That place is very different than when you and I saw each other in the late 2010s or 20s or whenever it was the last time Ole Miss played Vanderbilt. And Ole Miss would eventually win the game down the stretch. The stadium's completely changed. They were tearing out that north end. Now that place is absolutely immaculate. Clark Lee, Candace Story Lee has done a great job as director of athletics. It's a new Vanderbilt, to say the least.
It is amazing. Now I'm waiting for them to tear out the sides and redo the the massive portions of the seating and the concourses and such. But they added some more stuff this year. You know, some things to make it easier for fans to get in and out. But those two end zones, it is a far different atmosphere. They added, the seating, it makes it more of a bowl. They're going to have a drone show for their opener on Saturday night. They hosted the FCS National Championship in January. Tennessee State opened their season there last week. And it's just, they wanted to tap into the audience that is Nashville that may not be Vanderbilt fans but just want to go see a football game because they have an SEC team down the street. They've made it more interesting and fun. And let's be honest, Brad, when you win, it makes it easier. But I've talked to many people who just wouldn't come out to that stadium in the past because it's the SEC's smallest stadium and it was a dump. But those end zones – and what they've done with entertainment and, the video board, the music, they've brought life there. And it's a fun place to go watch a football game these days. And, oh, yeah, the home team's pretty good, too. So, if you're – and that's why among those teams that I'm waiting to see how they do this year, Clark Lee was in bad shape, 2-10. And then he goes out and gets Jerry Kill, Tim Beck from New Mexico State, Diego Pavia, and another guy they brought in from New Mexico State, Blaze Berlewitz. He knows the system that Tim Beck is running on offense. He's going to be the starting quarterback on Saturday night. Jarrett Curtis, the quarterback who flipped his commitment from Georgia to Vanderbilt, a sentence, phrase that I never thought in my life that I would utter, is going to play on Saturday night. So, yeah, think about that. Vanderbilt flipped a quarterback from Georgia to Vanderbilt. And he is going to play on Saturday night. The Tennessee quarterback, he won state championships over in North Carolina, a heavier level of competition. Jarrett Curtis competed at Nashville Christian in a private school division. So there's questions about how does this young man take the step from that level to the SEC? This is where Vanderbilt's opening schedule is going to give them a chance. They Austin Peay, Delaware, then NC State before they dive really into the SEC slate. We'll see how quickly or if Jarrett Curtis can rise up and grab that starting job because, Clark Lee's been busy, while leaning on the portal, he's gone to go get other people, players. He's been very key in trying to design this program to fit what Vanderbilt should be. And he's making, remember when he got some chuckles when he said, we're here to compete for championships?
Yeah, I think I've been sent by you when he said that.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, that's never going to happen. Don't you know you're Vanderbilt? Well, they had their first 10-win season in program history last season. They believe that, you know, they're going to do what they said can't be done.
Were you surprised that Blaise Berlwich was named the starter over Jared Curtis whenever that news came out? Me personally, just watching Clark Lee from afar, it felt like that was Clark Lee saying, okay, take a timeout. We're going to breathe a little bit. We're not going to put as much pressure on the young man. Kind of what we saw that was put on Arch Manning. I don't know that that's what went through his head, but it sure does make a lot of sense to go with Berlwich early and allow Curtis to kind of come in and maybe in the second quarter of the second half.
Well, that and also, Brad, an old-fashioned kind of nod. You've been here for 2 years. You trusted us. You came here. We're going to let you start the season as the quarterback. There's a lot of confidence in what Berlwich can do, knowing the offense, that he can go out and execute. The thing that you get with Curtis is the chance for maybe the bigger wow plays, the big plays down the field, the things that can, you know, really, you know, get an offense going and put a defense on its heels. So that's the thing, is how, you know, can Berlwich be that steady kind of executing quarterback and just keep the offense moving enough to keep Jared Curtis on the sideline? Because, you know, I'm going to contrast that with Tennessee. You know, Josh Heupel didn't have much of a choice. You know, the guy who was back was George McIntyre, who, you know, was, threw 9 passes or something like that all of last season. So, you know, McIntyre doesn't have a ton of experience. And, you know, he's been in the offense for a year, but Faison has quickly grasped this offense and has a physical edge. You know, Berlwich has 2 full years with this offense under his belt, and that experience, not counting, you know, the fact that he was at New Mexico State, so actually 3 years in this offense. So very comfortable, and I think that trust factor. Coaches like to know that, you know, and yes, it's the old school thing of, you know, giving your player who has stuck with you that chance to run out and start a game in his career at the school that he came to and put a lot of sweat and equity into.
I'm really excited to see Jared Curtis in person, to see, because all the talk has kind of been about him. So it'll be fascinating to see. And who's to say that Blake Berlwich doesn't come out and set the world on fire? You just don't know. That's why we love college sports. I'd love to talk about Nissan Stadium going away. Now the new stadium's coming in. The city of Nashville, to say it's blowing up would be an understatement. Broadway, everything, the West End. Nashville's an incredible city and somewhere that both you and I love. What are you foreseeing the future looks like with this new stadium? Is this something to where Super Bowls, WrestleManias, big ticket items, is that something that the city and the sports council would like to have down the road?
Well, remember, Nashville is hosting 2030 Super Bowl. So
there you go.
Yeah, they've got that one under their belt. And while nobody with the NFL will say it, the expectation is that because Nashville is Nashville, easy to get to, walkable campus. I mean, it's just it's so compact. If for anyone who's ever been to a Super Bowl, San Francisco, it's not San Francisco. They have the media and stuff in there, but everything else is at Levi's Stadium, Santa Clara, this, that, or the other. San Jose was where Media Night was hosted for Super Bowl 50. Houston, LA is spread out as well. Nashville, I mean, if they want to, they could put Super Bowl teams at hotels downtown. You've got the Titans facility to work at. You've got Vanderbilt's facilities to work at. And that is 2 miles as the crow flies from that new stadium. That's how compact things are. So they are on schedule with that new stadium. It's due to be done February-ish. And at that point, that's when – so, yeah, you know, the old Nissan Stadium, it's amazing how the new one – because the new one is built above ground. They've got a whole garage level, basement for parking, locker room, all the things that the current stadium doesn't have. They're going to be able to bring all those big semi trucks in for Super Bowl halftime shows, the tech support that is needed for broadcasts and things like that. The current stadium does not have that. You know, you go to the current Nissan Stadium on Sunday night, look for the big trucks. They're going to be in the parking lot across the street because that's how it needed to be set up. So this one is absolutely designed for all the big parties. You know, this game that's being hosted here now at the old Nissan Stadium, next year they're going to have somebody else in here, and they are going to be trying to fill that building with as many events as possible. So, yeah, Super Bowl should become a regular on the NFL Super Bowl slate after this first one. And, you know, they are going after Final Four. They are going after college football playoff games. They are bidding for any and everything for that new place. And having toured it 3 to 4, maybe 5 times, it's the sight lines are going to be great. And having been at the Foo Fighter concert in the middle of August at, you know, last month on one of the hot days, I'll just say I'm looking forward to the cooling system and the translucent roof. You'll need your sunglasses if you're there in a day game, but you're going to be comfortable. And, you know, I'm just saying I like that. And then, so every game this year, it's like that was the last preseason game last week. The season finale currently is January 3rd against Pittsburgh. And funnily enough, the last game when they had their debut season in the state of Tennessee was Memphis in 97 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. One reason that was the last game in Memphis is Steeler fans took over the Liberty Bowl. And Bud Adams said, we're not playing here again. Get me to Nashville. That's why they played the next season in Vanderbilt. So, you know, there's going to be a Pittsburgh takeover most likely January 3rd. And we'll see if the Titans can be good enough to maybe force the hand and say, no, we're going to play one more game here before we shut this place down.
Yeah, that'll definitely be fascinating to watch. I don't know how good the Titans are going to be this year, but I'm crossing my fingers they'll be really competitive. They're in Nashville, obviously, country music is what I love. And you would think that some big acts would be in that new facility whenever the doors finally open. Before we get you out of here today, Teresa Walker, the Associated Press, kind enough to give us a few minutes. The world of college football is in a bit of an uproar. As we record, the SEC versus LSU, which is really weird to say, going out, battling in court over a couple of football players. I don't know. I'm just ready to kick it off. But what are your thoughts about the world of college football, the health of it, and everything that's going on right now between the SEC and the collective world of college football?
Well, the biggest challenge with all the 5-5 and this and that has been because they had forgotten for so long to pay the athletes. And then, you know, we're now 5 years into the existence of name, image, and likeness, and that's just taking off. And, you know, we've got the Protect College Sports Act being discussed in Congress about trying to set salary caps. And, you know, the Wisconsin coach Luke Fickell said that they were spending like $20 million on their football team roster. I mean, the numbers have just skyrocketed. You know, and this is what happens when you kind of forget to deal with the one big component. It's not coaches and administrators in universities. It's they forgot all about the athletes yet again, which is why we finally got to NIL. And, you know, Danny White of Tennessee has been one of the big proponents of collective bargaining. Maybe it ends up being contracts, but, you know, that's still a puzzle to be solved. But the game on Sunday night, there's two players for Louisville. One is eligible, one isn't. They're both class of 2022 guys, the ones that the NCAA said, no, we're not going to grandfather them. And then you've got LSU taking their ball and going to another field and saying, we're going to bring guys back who were in training camps in the NFL and bring them here to be on our team. And that just, it's like, wait a minute. We've always, it's like that seemed to be a pretty strong line, right? You don't gamble, AKA Brendan Sorsby, you don't gamble on any sport you're involved with. And then you don't bring back guys who signed contracts. You know, they worked out a situation where, okay, if you declare for the NBA draft, but you sign with an agent, but then you withdraw, you can go back to college. Well, this has gone way beyond even that, Brad. I mean, think about it. Guys who were in NFL training camps, not signed a contract. The Giants GM said, we had LSU, or we had somebody, it may not have been LSU, excuse me, but we had somebody inquiring about players that we had, you know, in camp or tryouts with. And, you know, and if you had a tryout, but you didn't sign a contract, you know, guess what? You didn't sign a contract. But if you're in a training camp in the NFL, you signed a contract, you were being paid by a pro team, and now LSU's trying to bring some of those guys back just to help themselves win. The SEC has made it very clear. And to see just how aligned the rest of the league is with this, you know, we had the first reports from Ross Dellinger that the SEC was looking at all options, including expelling LSU from the league. Well, then we see, you know, Dondi Plowman talked on the record to ESPN. She is the head of the SEC's executive committee, the Tennessee chancellor. And she's like, we're going to enforce our rules. And we're not doing this. We're just not. And then yesterday we had the Georgia attorney general saying, do what you got to do, Greg Sankey and the SEC. There are some lines that just, these are rules. You agreed to them, LSU. We're not making you do anything you didn't want to do or tell us you would do. We're just asking you to uphold the word that you agreed to. So it's going, I mean, is this hearing on TV? Because I want to get some popcorn.
I don't know if they're broadcasting. There'll be plenty of information that's coming out. Obviously, the Ole Miss fans are very interested because two players that they're talking about, number one, are talented tight end Daquan Wright, who is really good. We saw highlights from Ole Miss a little bit ago, and he is peppered about the entire season. He's a large part of why Ole Miss made it as far as they did. And then Xavier Harris, the defensive tackle, goes to the Saints, doesn't work out, comes back, and now he wants to play for LSU. So that's why Ole Miss fans are very interested, not to mention its former coach, LSU head coach Lane Kiffin. So we're all eyes are kind of on this. I think the world of college football, but I think a lot of us, Teresa, are ready just to kick the ball off. And I think once we do that, I think the right thing will happen. We'll move forward. I think you start using words like expulsion, half the operating budget, suspension of its head coach. To me, Teresa, that would be enough for me to say, I'm out. That's enough. Let's go play ball.
Exactly, because we're talking a couple of players. We're not talking about, you know, your entire starting offense. You would think that that would be enough to get a university's attention. But, Brad, we're talking LSU. I mean, you know, we're old enough to remember when in the SEC you didn't go poach a coach from another SEC team. You just didn't do that. And then we crossed that barrier and, you know, coaches, I mean, think about it. Lane Kiffin has coached how many different SEC schools? You know, coordinator at Alabama, Tennessee head coach, Ole Miss head coach. Now he's at LSU head coach. So we've blown by some standards that we, you know, used to follow. But this seems to be the hard line. You cannot go get guys who weren't good enough to make NFL teams and bring them back to college. You know, yes, everybody wants to get paid, but when you sign that pro contract, this is what the SEC is hanging their hat on. No, you can't do that. But it's Louisiana. Louisiana and the governor, you know, there's some folks over there that are very used to getting what they want in Louisiana. But the problem is you're having to play nice with all the people that you chose to associate with in the SEC. And that's what makes this incredibly interesting. It should never have gotten to this point is what I think the rest of us all look at this and think, why? Just go play football. Is it worth the squeeze on this juice to get this into your team? And it's like, what principle are you standing for? That we want to go win at all costs and any cost? Darn the rules. That's what it seems to be coming from LSU and Louisiana. So do they back down? Let's wait and see.
And part of me understands that Lane Kiffin, as fascinating as he was in Oxford and as good as he was, is because he pushed the envelope. So I'm kind of understanding where he's coming from. Hey, I'm here to win games. I'm not here to make anybody happy. And quite frankly, I'm not here to go by the skating by the rules, maybe kind of going left and right. So I halfway appreciate that. But at the end of the day, when your back's against the wall and you're talking about expulsion, I think probably the SEC wins out here. She's Teresa Walker, always kind enough to give us some time here. Friend of the program on the Talk of Champions. Teresa, we'll see you in Nashville in a couple of days, and we always appreciate your time here on the Talk of Champions.
My pleasure, Brad. And let's just say a little prayer and a little grace because it's going to be a hot one Sunday night. Be hydrated and make sure you get to your parking early.
Got to be great. Thanks, Teresa.
That was Teresa Walker of the Associated Press, and she said what I've been saying to start this show, man. Like, is it really worth the squeeze? And honestly, it all comes down to one thing. You saw it multiple times as they've repeated in court cases today, cited in court cases, LSU attorneys, governors, the AG today getting interviews, starting the interview with Go Tigers. It all comes down to Trinidad, who is now in a promotional kind of deal for College Football 27 with Vince Vaughn.
Man, I miss college. Did I go to college? No. But in this new era of college football, I would have cleaned up.
6'5", ballet feet, fire hose for a right arm.
Did you say ballet feet?
Yeah, ballet feet.
Big Ten,
SEC. I would have gone anywhere I wanted.
You really think you could have played in SEC?
You really think you can stay in college for a decade?
On behalf of the Big Ten, we also have some questions.
Are you out of your mind?
Anyways, I would have had an NIL deal before I walked on campus.
Right.
I'd have been king.
At best, Prince.
I can see a Prince.
I think you'd have been great.
Thank you.
On the bench.
Trinidad, let's be serious. You're going to collect Social Security on graduation day.
College football, 27. Do it for you.
So it all comes down to, it's all about Trinidad. Even the jokes themselves, and he's in on them. You can make a legitimate case if you want to, and I get the frustration from LSU fans about Trinidad's medical waiver and being granted that medical waiver. It was flimsy at best, and it had been denied by the NCAA multiple times. They got the TRO, but these are separate issues as far as what the SEC has drawn a hard red line on. Yes, the medical redshirt stuff was flimsy at best, but he was due a fifth year. The way to go about it in court was unprecedented, and they got that. And I can understand their frustration. I'm just saying, now the SEC has shown you, regardless of how you feel about it, this is their red line. Your red line. Like the line, this is the red line. So now what? Meanwhile, Ole Miss's QB1, who led them to a program record 13 wins last year, is doing College Football 27 promotional videos with Vince Vaughn and the Bustin' with the Boys guys. Kewan Lacy is a cover athlete for College Football 27. And the only thing Ole Miss has got to worry about this week is beating a good Louisville team. And the spread is like, I think, -7. It's like 7.5. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I've been doing interviews left and right on this thing, and I keep getting asked a score prediction. I think I'm going right now 27-14 Ole Miss. Ole Miss, if its defense is like Pete and them thinks, it's close to 2024, much closer, of course, than last year's was. If they get that defense or equal to that defense, if not better than that defense, which, again, I'll have to see it to believe it, then the B-plus version of last year's offense with the two most important returning players on that offense back is a playoff contender, if not better than that. I'm not going to say they're winning a national championship. The entire operation was designed now for that parity, and you just got to get to the dance. But a B-plus offense version of Lane's offense with John David Baker starting on Sunday against Louisville with a defense that is as good, if not better, than 2024, which is what they feel it could be. Maybe that'll make me feel better about saying, yeah, Ole Miss is going to cover 2 touchdowns at least, you know, or certainly the spread of 7.5. What do y'all think? Am I kind of worried too much? Am I kind of overthinking it? I'm just glad it's football, not courtrooms. My question is, will you be at the Ole Miss Spirit talking about it with us all day, every day? OleMissSpirit.com, 75% off. This QR code, scan it today. Also, we'll be in Nashville, Barstool Nashville, from 2 to 4 for the pregame show, then the postgame show. Mincy will be there, and Marshall Henderson will be there. Just come out, come find us. We'd love to see you. Bradley Sal will be on the podcast tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central Time. He and Brett Norsworthy are coming on the Talk of Champions. Thank you to all in the chat who joined us. Thank you to Teresa Walker, who is awesome, and Mr. Brad Logan, my friend, at Brad Logan COC, Talk of Champions on Twitter. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll be back again tomorrow. And yeah, football. Yay. And yet we're still talking courts. But here at Talk of Champions, at least it's not our courts anymore. At least ours is just the football. Hey, at Willis 95-42 still with us. It's 38-24 Ole Miss. Okay, here's the thing. The reason the 24, I'm getting, it would have to be 38-21 for me, or 38-20, because they missed an extra point, because apparently Louisville's special teams are a real question mark. Don't really know who the guy's going to be at kicker or punter. Could that play a role? At Apex3-D, hey, Ben, I have a question. Do you think Lane LSU has paid Wright and Harris? That's the reason he's wanting them to play so bad. I don't know. And if they did pay them, oh, well, you know, like for them, they have limitless money right now. My biggest question is, how far down the road do you want to go with this? Like, is the goal to be out of the SEC? Like, what is the end game? Because if the end game, because for right now, at least what you're arguing publicly in the courts, what you're now being sued for, publicly, like the argument is, you just want these two players to play. Is it worth all of this, the players that you're getting, or is it saying more about Lane's wanting an exit ramp for blame again? I don't know. But at this point, they're right there. The game of chicken, they're nose to nose. What is the end game here? If it's just playing these guys, then this isn't worth it. Do say, all right, you can't play, and we'll argue about in Destin next spring. Otherwise, like, are you, is your goal to get out of the SEC, to go independent? That's how, like, your governor, who's more involved than any governor has ever been or ever will be in athletics, he's the one that got changes to firing Brian Kelly, firing the AD, bringing Lane in, creating the money. He's starting being a part of, like, the biggest thing, the most important thing here is if there is actionable, and, like, the SEC is suing Lane for this, if they can prove, and they believe they can, that Lane orchestrated this, that is a bigger problem. Like, there are labor laws and stuff in the NFL. Like, the NFL would be rolled into that, all these kind of things. And, like, Lane would be in some real legal trouble with that. Like, that's an antitrust or something. I'm not a lawyer, dude. I don't know. But, like, that's a bigger problem. That is more notable. It's just unprecedented more than anything else that it's happening a couple days before football. Fortunately, it's someone else's problem. He is brilliant on game days. Would you feel more confident with this team with Lane as head coach going into it against Louisville than Pete Golding been? Can't say I wouldn't. And then I remember that every box that he's needed to check, if not surpassing, get the extra credit checks. That's exactly what Pete Golding has done, inheriting an unprecedented situation. And every single chance, except for one play against Miami, and that's not, I mean, it happens. He has checked every single box, if not more. So high school recruiting is different. More equitable balance in the portal is different. More responsibility. Like, I don't think the salaciousness stuff that came out about, like, his days at Alabama, that was below the – that was just silly. That sucks. That's salacious nonsense, man. That's too TMZ crap. The only thing of all of this noise that is no longer the noise concern of Ole Miss – the only thing is if he is like this puppeteer that orchestrated all this stuff, because that's tying on a whole bunch of different parties and big money and billions of dollars, and I don't even want to think about it. What I want to think about is, will Ole Miss beat LSU? I mean, LSU, Louisville on Sunday. They're not focused on anything else but that. I can guarantee you that. You say 38-24, I'll say I like 38-20, because Lucas Caniero, he's going to get his. This has been Talk of Champions. See you tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central Time. Join us at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of Bone 3. Right now, up until kickoff of Louisville, 75% off. Y'all been awesome. We still want more of you. It's the Ole Miss Spirit. I'll see you there and see you tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central Time. Take care.